Isaiah chapter number 3, and looking forward to dealing with this subject this evening. As we said last week and told you this morning, reiterated it again, that the Lord has laid on our heart on these Sunday nights through the month of September. I really strive to be a sweet preacher, and that's what I want to be, and I don't want to make enemies. I don't want to make nobody mad. That ain't my goal and my aim. That doesn't mean I haven't made some enemies and haven't made some people mad. I have along the way, and I don't glory in that. But if you're going to be a man of God and be a real Bible preacher, sooner or later you're going to rub somebody's cat the wrong way. And they're not going to flip the cat around. They're going to take their cat home and never come back. And we've experienced that in days gone by. But I said all that to say this. It's been on our heart from the Lord to try to tackle some issues that I believe are severe issues going on in our culture and in our day. And I believe tonight, I believe with all my heart, that the Lord, through His Word, has all the answers and solutions for the matters that we are dealing with. And we have to think biblically in a very wicked culture. We have to think biblically about issues and approach those things from the Word of God. Even though the world don't want to hear it, we as God's children and as the Lord, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe we have an obligation to view those things through the lens of the pages of the Word of God. And so we want to try to be instructive. We want to be firm. We want to be bold about some of these things. And honestly, to deal and approach some of the issues as we did abortion last week. If you kind of begin to study that and see that as God sees it, it's hard not to get righteously indignant about what is going on in our day. It makes me mad. 65 million babies have been slaughtered and murdered and aborted since the early 1970s. And if you can hear that statistic and think about that, and then some of the ways that that has been done procedurally, really it's barbaric. It's something that ought to, I don't even think you got to be a Christian to get mad about that. And yet we as God's people, amen, ought to be righteously stirred tonight about the issues of our day. Now tonight I want to deal with another subject, just one of them hot topics. And I'm not trying to be controversial. That's not my goal tonight. But I do want to look at this subject. We'll see it from Isaiah 3 and several other passages that we'll reference tonight. If you're willing and able to stand, do so. And time is flying by in this service. So if y'all will listen fast, I'll read fast, preach fast. And I probably could speak on this issue for hours. I'll not do that tonight. My voice is not going to let me. And your attention span, I'm sure, will conflict with doing that as well. And so let's get right after it. Isaiah chapter number 3, verse number 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. Listen closely to verse number 2 and 3. And the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. They declare their sin is Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. Verse 12 will conclude our reading. It says, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. We'll leave off our reading there. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, you know we sure do need your help tonight. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, you touch us, Lord. We sense a weakness in ourselves, physically and in our voice and Lord in our body. But Lord, I pray you take us beyond that. And Lord, help us, Lord, to declare what you put on our heart to say and to expose. And Lord, to encourage the church in their stand in these evil days. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This passage, as we've read it tonight, this passage of this text paints the portrait of a nation in decline headed for the judgment of God. When you read much of what Isaiah says, particularly chapter number 3, it is clear that Jerusalem in particular, Israel as a nation, they are in trouble. They are in a downward spiral of sin and all sorts of wickedness and iniquity as they've gone against the Lord. Now they are getting ready to reap the repercussions of that they have sown. As the prophet lays out the indictment against them here, as we've read it tonight, against Jerusalem and Judah, he declares a nation here to be absent of real men being and having been turned over to being governed by a spirit of immaturity and a spirit of femininity. The indictment is so serious. I read this tonight, and as you read it and study it and dive in the spirit behind the text, you'll find the prophet is burdened about this. As men are disappearing, as men are pushed to the side, as men are cast down and the children and the women arise, it gives way to an indictment that is very serious in the days and in the time of Isaiah, and I believe we'll see tonight just as serious as in the days that you and I live in. This spirit of immaturity and spirit of femininity that began to prevail in the land and govern the nation of Israel is also known by the term effeminacy. Effeminacy is something that was plaguing the days of Isaiah. Again, the real men, we'll see, have been pushed down, pushed aside, pushed out. They've been told to shut up, sit down, be quiet. And as they began to give way to those pressures, the society and the culture, even in Israel, the people of God, began to be dominated by this thing called effeminacy. It's actually a Bible word. We'll see that. We'll see that in the New Testament here in just a little while. And it is the word effeminate. When we think about effeminate, Webster's defines this idea, this term, this word effeminate or effeminacy as to make womanish, weak, and tender. And so the idea is there is a masculinity that is being turned away from, particularly not only in men, but particularly in men in the text. And they're turning away from that and being made womanish, being made weak, being made tender. I understand tonight some of what we'll say even on this point will be controversial tonight. But the Word of God does say that the woman is the weaker vessel. And that doesn't mean that men are always strong and that men never cry and that men don't have emotions. And in fact, even the very wording of that women are the weaker vessel implies there is weaknesses in men. But that there is a distinction between masculinity and womanhood. This evening, we think about Webster, we go on to define. And I think this really hits the matter of effeminacy even in our day and in the text. He said that effeminate means to unman. To unman. I see in Isaiah 3, I see in our culture that there is this idea we want to unman, manliness and manhood and what men represent in their purpose, their divine purpose given us by our Creator. That society and culture tonight wants to unman our nation. And it does it in all sorts of ways and by all sorts of things. It is not only a fitting description of our text tonight, effeminacy, is not only a description of our text, but of our culture in America. Tonight I want to deal with this subject, and it'll take me a little while. I'm going to be quick as I can. But I want to deal with this out of Isaiah chapter number 3 on the effeminization of a nation. The effeminization of a nation. America, church, listen tonight, America's in trouble. And she's in trouble on many accounts, and she is indicted with a worthiness of the judgment of God on so many accounts. Really, it's getting hard to deal with all of the issues of our day. But make no mistake about it, this is one of the prevailing issues of our day and of our time. It is a spirit that prevails in America tonight to unman the nation, to make men womanish, to blend the sexes and the genders. I remember as a boy growing up, and there was a movement, it was known as the unisex movement. And in that movement and in that philosophy was the idea that men and women are all the same. We can do our hair the same, dress the same, act the same, do the same. Women are as strong as men are. And there was an equality that was tried to be blended in among men and women. Now, if you want to talk about value, I will tell you tonight, there is an equality among men and women. Men are no more valuable than women, nor women than men. And both ought to be respected, and both ought to be regarded, and both ought to be admired, and both have very, very important, significant roles in society, in the home, and in the church. But tonight, understand, men and women are not the same. It's not the will of God that the nations be unmanned from a masculinity and a spirit of manhood that needs to be prevalent and needs to be present for a nation to survive. America is ever more quickly approaching this very dilemma tonight. Many, many worthy considerations have been made for the rise of effeminacy in our culture. I wrote down several, and I'm going to give my own indictment of why I believe there's such a rise tonight. Now, there are five that there are considerations given to, and some of them are conspiratorial. And by the way, every conspiracy is not theory. There are facts that are conspiracy tonight. And I truly believe with all my heart some of these things, amen, and all of these things ought to be considered and studied, and you can do with what you want with them. I found this, that one person said there's such a rise in effeminacy in America because of the shifting of gender norms and expectations. And I suppose that is so tonight. Time changes things, and there have been shifts away from what has been normal and traditional, that expectations have been dropped among men and women and what their respective roles and responsibilities are. Number two, the chemical agents on food and in the environment. And you got to be careful going into some of this, but you ought to give some consideration to that tonight. And some of the things they're putting on crops and growing food is creating more ability in men to produce estrogen, and a weakening and a lessening of testosterone, which, by the way, is part of what makes a man and a woman a woman. And that is going on in our day. I won't go down that rabbit trail. I could. That would be the whole message tonight. But that is a consideration tonight. Number three, the changing family structure of absent parents. We're living in a culture where, and don't get mad at me tonight, but where divorce prevails and there are children being raised in single parent homes. And that's a whole nother issue that our nation is going to have to deal with and navigate through. And hopefully, I don't know if it'll ever turn around, turn it in days in the generations to come. But that is a part of this movement that is going on in our day of turning out so many effeminate people, effeminate young men and boys and even grown men in our day. Amen. This matter of a changing family structure, it is the will of God. I understand everybody's got to find their own way of doing things, but it is the Bible way that God has planned it. Amen. For a man to go to work and provide for his own family. And the Bible is so clear about that. If a man does not do that, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You can do what you want in your own family. Amen. But it's the will of God. Mama raised them babies for the honor and the glory of God. And I don't preach on that a lot because I don't need any more enemies. But that's a part of this problem we have growing in our day, the changing family structure. Amen. Where children are shipped off to school and come home to an empty house. Amen. To be raised by all sorts of other things without mom and daddy's supervision. Somebody say amen. The evolving media representations of masculinity are part of this problem. Make no mistake about it, Hollywood and the social media aspects of TikTok. And if you're on TikTok, you have lost your ever-loving mind. Amen. You need to study it out and understand that they manipulate your mind, make you think certain ways by pumping things to you. You don't even know that you're being manipulated. And this evolving media representation of masculinity prevails in our day. We've gone from the John Wayne, and whatever you think about him, don't tell me nothing bad. Amen. He's one of my national hero treasures tonight. I know he smoked cigars and punched people and spanked his wife on McClintock. Amen. And drank beer, but he still, amen, he represented a culture of masculinity in our day. And I'm not saying smoking cigars and smoking beer is masculine, but amen, he was a man. He presented himself as a man. And we've gone from that to years ago when I was growing up. Now, we never would watch this. Daddy wouldn't let us watch it. We was really aware of it because it was promoted as such a good thing years ago. The sitcom Will and Grace. And in that sitcom, there was a presentation of weak, effeminate sounding, effeminate acting, effeminate carrying on of a man that they portrayed as, ain't this a wonderful picture of masculinity? And that has grown ever the worse since those days. Amen. And we can get into all kinds of things the media has evolved in their representation of masculinity. What about this tonight? Part of this problem is the pushing of the gender identity movement. They're pushing this down our children's throat. Ideas that gender is fluid and gender is a spectrum and gender is non-binary. My friend, I'm telling you tonight, this is a part of a confusion that plagues our nation tonight. And it's hard to believe that you can't understand. I remember as a boy watching
watch him. What was the guy's name? Wore the sweater. Just Mr. Rogers. Amen. Mr. Rogers taught us growing up, amen, that little boys cannot be little girls, nor can little girls be little boys. And that was a comment. That was a common promotion by a man who wasn't a radical, not a man who was a lunatic, but a man who had a sound, sane mind of understanding. Amen. And now that has been replaced with some of the trash and the garbage of our politicians and the movement, the LGBTQ, and I'll get to them probably next week or the week after and burn their hide to ground. But I'm telling you, they have pushed this idea of gender identity and fluidity to the point, and we've raised a generation now, amen, that is absolutely confused. A man who's been no friend to the church and no friend to Christians. He's a liberal. He's a dope-smoking, wine-drinking reprobate by the name of Bill Maher. Even has enough sense to have said earlier this year, why is it we have more homosexuals and more transgenders, and began to list all of this. Why is it that there are more than ever? And his synopsis was, maybe we're creating them by promoting and pushing this garbage down their throat. That ain't from some red hair screaming, wild, independent, fundamental, devil hating, stand stomping Baptist preacher. Amen. That's from a man, amen, who likely is reprobate tonight. And even he has enough sense to understand, amen, that this has a lot to do with the effeminacy movement and the effeminization of our nation tonight. That's five things. Maybe there's more tonight, but I don't want to use all my time on this. I want to say tonight, in spite of all of these things and the legitimate considerations, it ought to be given to all five of them. However, I want to make it clear tonight. Effeminacy is rooted in rebellion against the male-female roles and responsibilities that were given to us by our Creator. Mark it down tonight. Amen. If you want to blame it on chemicals, go ahead. If you want to blame it on the family structure and dynamic bed, amen, move aside and change, you can do that. You want to blame it on Hollywood, blame it on Hollywood. You want to blame it on the perverts, blame it on the perverts. Tonight I'm telling you, it is all rooted in a spirit of rebellion. Amen, where mankind is resisting at what our Creator has set up, what our Creator has commanded. Amen, He intended for males to be men, to be manly, to be masculine. He intended for females, amen, to have a womanhood about them, a ladiness about them, a femininity about them. And when men began to mess with, amen, those God-given commands that our Creator has made, it is rebellion and mankind is headed for trouble. Our Creator made us the way that we are. He made males men and He made females women. Amen. And He intends for your life, men, to be lived in masculinity. I don't care what the liberals say. I don't care how much pressure they put on us. It'll never be the will of God for us to succumb to this evil, wicked, rebellious spirit and give way to effeminacy. Effeminacy tonight, it is a self-indulgent characteristic. And it's opposite, you'll see this in the message tonight, and it is opposite of and opposing to the strong and courageous characteristics of manliness. Amen. Effeminacy is opposite of and opposing to manliness. It is not. It not only shows itself, and I don't have time to go down this trail, this path too far, other than maybe make the statement. Amen. And so I don't want to just make men mad at me tonight. Let me make the women mad. It's not only, amen, only shows itself by femininity in men, But when you study this out biblically and you study this out according to God's roles and the way that it is, it is in women, it is revealed by a distortion of biblical womanhood. When women rise up and refuse to, my friend, promote the femininity God gave them, they distorted and they began to be a part of this problem of effeminacy going on in our day. Here's the way they word it. Here's the way they term it. The feminist movement. And the feminist movement declares that we as women, we're going to have our rights, and women ought to have rights. I'm not for women being slaves. I'm not for women being hated on. My mama was a woman. I married a woman. My sister's a woman. I've got four daughters that are young women. Amen. Some of my best friends in all the world, amen, they are ladies. And so there's nothing wrong with a woman being a woman and being treated like a lady. That feminist movement, they went way too far, and now they demand more rights and more freedoms and liberties, amen, and lordship, you'll see that tonight, amen, than God ever intended for a woman to have. Amen. 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 Glory. That's good, Pastor. Let me lay this out tonight in an introductory outline, and then we'll dive into the text tonight. I want you to note tonight that effeminacy, number one, let's just start here, it is condemned in scriptural context. Here's what they're trying to get us to believe, is that this Bible ain't got much to say on this issue. But I'm telling you tonight, God laid it out very clear and very plain from Genesis 1. Amen. It didn't say that he made humanity. No, no. He was very specific in what he made and what he created. And he made them male and female. He put a distinction, he drew a line of distinction in the conjunction, I guess that's what it is, of "and." That he made male and female. They are different. They, my friend, were made different. And my friend, you cannot blend the two together because they are condemned in scriptural context. The idea of effeminacy is directly condemned in 1 Corinthians 6. Hold your place in Isaiah chapter number 3. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 3. Look with me in 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse number 9. Here's what the Bible said. Know ye not that the unrighteous, notice that, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. And he's going to begin to give a list of very specific matters that fall under the category, watch it, of being unrighteous. These are not just, oh, it's just a kind of a bad thing. No, Paul said these are unrighteous activities and ways that men live. Be not deceived. What are they? Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. What's the next phrase say? Nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. He'll go on and talk about nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. This is a list. You want to know what is unrighteous? Amen. You'll find it listed very clear in the text. And in that, of all the things that Paul could have wrote about, this is not an exhaustive list. This is not all that is unrighteous in the world. It is a blip on the radar. It is a expression of, amen, things that are unrighteous. And right smack dab in the middle of it all, Paul said it is unrighteous to be effeminate. It's not a good thing. It's actually condemned in the Bible. It's condemned in scriptural context. Consider with me tonight, it is conditioned by social constructs. This idea of effeminacy, it goes beyond the bounds of what our Creator has commanded. And for men to wind up in a state of effeminacy, there has to be a conditioning in a construct of society that begins to manipulate real, true biblical masculinity and manliness and turn it into creatures that are not what God has created them to be. Here's a term they use tonight and promote. Amen. Everybody in the building has heard of the term toxic masculinity. The term was developed, it's not a new term. It actually goes back to the 80s. I didn't realize that. And was a term developed by a man who was either a psychiatrist or a psychologist by the name of Shepherd Bliss. And in this term, an expressionist term, he used it to describe his own father's, and I quote, militarized authoritarian masculinity. Now, I don't know about his upbringing, Brother Tim. I don't know anything about his daddy. I understand there are some sorry daddies who don't know how to love their family, and they abuse their family, and they take and think that being masculine means that, hey, man, you're just this certain kind of rigid creature that, it's my way or the highway, you'll see tonight that has nothing to do with biblical masculinity. And so I'm not sure, amen, the facts of Shepherd Bliss's upbringing. But here's what I know. This term has been hijacked in recent years. And it has been hijacked by the media. It has been hijacked by the politicians of our day. It's been hijacked by the feminist movement. Amen. Who have lost their ever-loving minds. Amen. And is now a term that is now used to deny men the exercise of what has always been traditional masculinity. If you're a man who has a bold opinion, they call that toxic masculinity. If you're a man who stands against anything that women stand for culturally and are trying to promote, all of a sudden you are guilty of toxic masculinity. If you stand against sin and against perversion and you dare stand up and say the LGBTQ movement, it is a perversion of God's plan and purpose for man. And my friend, all of a sudden you're the problem. You've got toxic masculinity and you've got to be banished. You've got to be reschooled and reeducated and brainwashed. Their entire programs in place by corporations in our very nation tonight, and they are nothing more than reeducation camps to take real traditional men of masculinity and reprogram them and send them back to the job, soft-spoken, no opinion, amen, not say anything about anything, and just go along to get along. And I'm telling you tonight, amen, that stuff is conditioned by social constructs. Amen. How we doing? Oh, don't take me off the radio. Keep me on. Amen. Let me say, amen. Y'all want some more? Let me say tonight, amen, this effeminacy that is going on in our day, I believe that it is controlled through satanic confusion. Where there is confusion, mark it down, the devil's somewhere. Amen, with his finger in the pie. And this idea of effeminacy and what all comes out of it tonight is nothing more than confusion. And Satan, as the world and society has condition this. The devil is now in control of it. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, the devil's always trying to confuse what God has ordained and manipulate it and change it. Amen. We see that going all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And the devil has always been an author of confusion. Here's something I found interesting in my studies. Is the goddess known as Sibyl. And Sibyl was known as the Great Mother. The Great Mother, her eunuchs became a called and devotees that were very serious about their worship to the Great Mother. This particular cult was originated in Mesopotamia and was brought into Greece around 300 BC, according to my study. This cult was embraced by the Roman Empire when it came to be, and it grew under the Roman Empire with all that went on under that. It was wrote about in the days of Augustine. And here's what Augustine said. He said the effeminates, he called them the disciples, the followers of Sibyl. He called them the effeminates consecrated to the Great Mother. The devotees of Sibyl would castrate themselves, grow out their hair. I'm talking about men, grow out their hair, and array themselves in bracelets and pendants and earrings. They would put a turban on their head and they would worship the goddess Sibyl and then go out in the community and be beggars and paying for money in exchange for telling the fortunes of those it would give to them. Does that sound like America tonight? I want to be careful here. I understand we're in a mixed company. But when you study Sibyl out, there was a deep sexuality that was attached to the worship of the goddess known as the Great Mother. They would come, and in that exercise, they would literally, can I word it this way? I want to be careful. But they would literally give that goddess, who is nothing more than a demon spirit, give her their manhood. Amen. I warn every man in the building tonight, Satan is the one that controls this matter that is at hand tonight. He's in control of this confusion. When you go browsing on websites you've got no business being on. Part of this effeminacy issue going on in our day is directly connected to Satan's control of pornography and what it does to the minds and the heart and the feelings. Amen. To men in this day. And we're living in a culture tonight. Our men are so steeped in that. And we have reached the day that men, young men, would rather have a relationship with a website and go out and meet a woman and fall in love and get married and have physical relations one to another. And they'll brag on how manly they are. There's nothing manly about that. That is the spirit of effeminacy. I told you, hey man, we're going to tackle these things. And it is plaguing our day. There are billions of pages of pornography on the internet right now while I preach. And every person that has a smartphone, you're just a few clicks away from getting under the domain and the control and the confusion of the God of this world, amen, who wants to take your manhood from you, amen, and manipulate you. We can go down this road, and if it's just men, I promise you, I'd get so much more plain right now. Men are destroying their minds. Men are destroying their testosterone levels. and I'm not saying all that's related to that. I understand medical things, but amen, Brother Philbank said here years ago in revival, you dabble in that stuff too far, there is a point of no return. I've watched it. I've been pastoring long enough and dealt with enough issues, amen, to tell you there's a line. Amen. If you men don't get a hold of that, and it ain't just men, it's women, but I'm preaching to men right now. Amen. If you don't get a hold of that somewhere in your life and bring that under the domain and the control of the Holy Ghost in your life, the devil's going to wear you out and rob your manliness and your courage and your strength, amen, right out of you. America's in trouble tonight. With a bunch of men who are nothing more than perverted in their mind and think because they can watch a woman naked, amen, that makes them a man. Amen. By the way, oh Lord have mercy. I hope we are off the radio before I say what I'm about to say. Pornography, do you understand? Do you understand? You're not just in pornography. I've dealt with this with young people. I've dealt with this with married men. I've dealt with this with old men. Now tell them, Brother Tim, do you realize when you're watching that, you're not just watching a naked woman? Everybody okay? I know this is deep, but we got to tackle it because it's killing us. Men sit themselves down and watch another man in the nude. You know what you're doing to your mind and your heart and your manliness? The devil's ripping it right out of you. Amen. Amen. Is that okay? I've been, it was 11 years ago today I showed up first time and preached to y'all. I ain't preached like this in 11 years. But I am tonight. It is effeminacy. It is controlled through satanic confusion. It's not just pornography and out in the world. The devil has a control of this in confusion, even in the church. So what do you mean? I found it interesting, Brother Mike. You'll like this and appreciate this in particular. I read to you a moment ago, 1 Corinthians 6:9. And there is a list of things. Did you know in the ESV version of the Bible that in the end of verse number 9, those two last two groups that Paul puts his finger and pulse on, the effeminate nor abusers of themselves of mankind, that the ESV combines those last two groups into one. And here's what it reads. It reads as men who practice homosexuality. Here's the problem with that. To combine them two is weakening the biblical warning against effeminacy in Christian men. Amen. If you have effeminacy or an effeminate spirit, that doesn't mean you're a homosexual. And there is a line that is drawn that the Holy Ghost has put in place. Amen. Now, effeminacy can lead to homosexuality. I understand that, but there is a line of division, and the devil has done his dirty work even in the church and has embraced false perversions in the Bible. Amen. To dumb down this very subject we're preaching against tonight. Amen. You say, you act like you're getting mad again. I'm about to get there. Amen. The devil is controlling this through his confusion. The church tonight, it ain't just in the world, in the church tonight. There are spirits of effeminacy. There's a feminization that has been embraced. Men who prance and waltz in the church, parade, more interested in fashion than they are being spiritual. Amen. How we doing? This is all the result of satanic confusion that is controlling this spirit in the world and in the church. According to Isaiah 53, effeminacy will conclude with serious consequences. No nation goes down this road and survive. You can study the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was birthed out of strength and dominance. Was birthed out of, and I understand that there was a part of it that wasn't good, but it was men who were men that wanted to dominate something. They went out and they conquered and they fought wars and they won battles and they expanded their boundaries and they sought to have dominion. There was, in the beginning of the Roman Empire, a matter of masculinity that prevailed underneath that. But as the Roman Empire expanded and as it began to grow and the old ancient men began to pass off the scene, they were replaced by weaker and weaker men. And my friend, they began to be casual and comfortable and more interested in luxury and finery that ultimately turned into them not being men of strength at all. And the effeminacy and the homosexuality and the perversions that prevailed in the midway to the end of the Roman Empire are astounding. And in 476 A.D., the Roman Empire is said to have finally fallen, and it fell because there was an effeminate spirit that prevailed in the empire. Amen. Roman Empire was known for its gladiators, its warriors, its armies, its men. But in the end, effeminacy took that great empire down. How we doing? It's getting late. I meant to be done here in 2 minutes. I ain't even got to Isaiah 3. Can I show you the effeminization of a nation from this text tonight? Watch with me tonight several things that I want to point out. And the outline, it's really simple, but let me run through it. At least run through it. I'll be as brief as I can. Lord, have mercy. I've got too much. Amen. Number one, consider with me in Isaiah 53 on why effeminacy prevails. Why does it prevail? The prevailing of the effeminate spirit is conditioned by the taking away of real men. Effeminacy cannot find a foothold where there are real men that will stand in opposition to it. In our text in verses 1 through 4, we find that if you take the men away, when you take the men away, effeminacy will find a foothold. There are certain kind of men, there are certain kinds of descriptions that must be in the lives of men. And manliness is not rooted in how much you can bench press or deadlift. Manliness is not a man rooted in how boisterous and bold that you can be. It ain't rooted in a man you being able to bark louder than anybody else. Manliness biblically, I think, is found in Isaiah 3, particularly verse 2 and verse number 3. I'll run through it really quick. The mighty man, this is men of strength. He said these are the men that are going to be taken away. The mighty man, men of strength. He talked about the man of war, that is men of victory and dominion. Men, it is the will of God that you have a spirit of victory about you. It's the will of God. God made man to have dominion. And there ought to be something in a man that wants to conquer something. Amen. Amen. The right things, but something. Amen. Amen. I'm not getting near enough. Amen's the judge. This is the men of discernment. The prophet. This is men of God, not just a preacher. Hey, men, you can be a man of God. You can be in tune to what God has to say. This is a part of biblical manhood. He talked about the prudent. Prudent are men. Men of discernment. Notice with me here, we find the term ancient. The ancient men, men of tradition. Men that don't easily let go of what has been passed down. You listen, a feminist says, I don't understand why things have always been the way they are, so therefore I will casually and without regard just cast it off. But real men, they want to know why things are the way they are. And even if they can't understand it, they don't casually and carelessly cast tradition aside. Men of leadership, he talked about the captain of 50. He talked about the honorable man, men of leadership, men of honor and conviction. Men, notice here, he said, and the counselor. This is men of wisdom. And then he talked about the cunning artificer. This is men of building, men that can build something. You ain't got to be able to build a car or build a house, but you ought to have something in you that you want to be constructive. It's a part of biblical manhood. And the eloquent orator, men of twofold here in this one statement, men of effective communication. Men who can sit down and reason out problems and express solutions. The word orator also means private prayer, and I wrote down biblical manhood involves men of prayer. And I don't care how much you can lift, if you ain't got a prayer life, it won't be long the devil will have your manliness, amen, diminished. Amen. Men of prayer. Know that in this disappearance, these are the men that are going to be taken away. These are the men that are going to be cast aside. These are the men that have been so vital to the nation. It was David and his mighty men had established the kingdom in David's day. It was Saul in his early days of his strength, a man of valor, a man of strength, a man of conviction, and had other men around him that would join him in the endeavors to set up the monarchy of the nation of Israel. And on, these men, these type of men, have been men that have been vital in the nation of Israel. But when the men were taken away, when the men were cast aside, when the men, these kind of men, were downplayed and disregarded, know that the disappearance of the manly spirit results in the rise of immaturity, which is the seedbed of effeminacy. Here's what God said in verse 4. Here's what Isaiah said. He said, here's the result when these kind of real men began to disappear. Here's what he said, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Immaturity is the seedbed to effeminacy. We have lost these kind of men in our nation, and they have been replaced with men who play Xbox. They have been replaced with men who have toys. Men who sit up on the internet in the wee hours of the night. Men of no conviction. Men of no honor. Men that are so immature, all they want to do is never grow up. I cannot for the life of me fathom how any grown man has the time to find to sit down and play Xbox, PlayStation, computer games. I ain't got time, listen, I ain't got time to surf social media. I ain't got time tonight, amen, to give hours of my day to this and that. I've got too many irons in the fire. I'm trying to get some of them out of the fire today, amen, so I can catch my tail. Are you listening? And I'm telling you that when this kind of manliness begins to disappear, it'll always be replaced with immaturity. Amen. That's where we are. I seen this video the other day of he had to be full grown. I mean, he wasn't no little kid. Looked to me like a full grown man. and his parents was going to make him get up. No, I heard it on a show I was listening. This daddy called in. He said, my son's married. He's lost his job and he won't get a job. And we let him and his wife move in the house. And all he does all day long is play on the Xbox. He said, I took his Xbox away and said he cried like a baby. And he's calling into this show to say, what do I do? I can answer that pretty quick. You ain't got to be certified in counseling to know what to do there. And you imagine a full-grown man, Brother Bob, crying because his daddy threw away his Xbox. Told him to go get a job. That's why we got the problem we have in America tonight. A bunch of men, so-called, they're males, but they ain't men. They're Peter Pan fantasy children. They're the never boys. Is that what they call them? I don't know what they call them. Amen. Neverland, the never grow up land. I don't know. Y'all watch it. Y'all tell me after service. Amen. Bunch of Peter Pan wannabes. Want to stay boys the rest of their life. Amen. That's right. Why effeminacy prevails. Can I give you number two? I'm going to try to be done by 7:30. I'll quit at 7:30 if I ain't done, I promise. Notice how effeminacy presents. Effeminacy is a spirit. It's a spirit and it's a mentality. Y'all sure you want to go on? I can pick this up later. I feel like I need to go on. It's a spirit and it's a mentality. But make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. Amen. There are some things that are clearly identifiable in these that have this issue of effeminacy. Amen. Amen. Watch this tonight. In 1 Corinthians 6:9, Paul talks about the unrighteous list of things of which we already pointed out is the matter of effeminacy. Effeminacy. The word, and I'll be careful here how deep I get into this, but the word that is brought out perfectly in our King James Bible, nor effeminate, is translated one other way, three different times in the King James Bible through the word soft. It's the word that Jesus used when he come to the multitudes there and he was going to the Pharisees and he questioned them about the ministry of John the Baptist. He said, what went ye out in the wilderness to see? A man clothed in, here it is, soft, that's your word, effeminate, raiment, soft raiment. Jesus said, that is not what you went out to see. John the Baptist wasn't effeminate. He wasn't clothed in soft raiment. He wasn't a soft man. He wasn't a tender man. He wasn't an unmanned man. That is not what drew you to John the Baptist. John presented himself as a manly man. That's right. It went beyond him, though I kind of like it. I'm thinking about getting me one. I'll preach in it next Sunday, a camel skin. Amen. Can y'all imagine me preaching in a camel skin suit jacket? Amen. Y'all have to call me John the Baptist next Sunday if I do. Eating locusts and drinking wild honey. All that. I mean, I'll be honest, you got to have a little testosterone going on. Your levels may be a little messed up to go start eating bugs. But that's how he presented himself. He wasn't one of these little sissy preachers. Oh, welcome to church today, y'all. Thank you for coming. Give Jesus a hand. Everybody give Jesus a hand. No. He was a man of conviction. He was a man because of his manliness. that people were drawn to him, not because of soft raiment, not because he was soft-spoken, not because he was steeped in an effeminate culture, but because he was a real man.
Amen.
Amen. So we find the connection there. Here, I want to read this to you. Amen. I'm going to have to quit. There's too much to get to. Luke chapter number 7. Do y'all reckon we could handle another service preaching on this? Luke chapter number 7. Consider with me. Let me find my verse here. Amen. Luke chapter number 7. And look with me in verse 25. Amen. But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled. John wasn't interested in being gorgeous. He was interested in being godly. Amen. He was more interested in being a man of faith than a man of fashion. I'm telling you, the marks and the presentation of effeminacy, it is presented in our culture, and you cannot disassociate this in this study, that effeminacy has attached to it the way a man dresses. Amen. I understand tonight fashions change. Can I get an amen here? I'm glad we've moved out of the Amen, the bell bottoms in the wide tie generation. I ain't saying there's anything wrong with it, but I'm just glad fashions change. And by the way, amen, in about 50 years, they're going to look back how we was dressed tonight and go, what in the world were them people thinking? Fashions change, I understand that. But every culture that has ever been has a line that has been marked. This belongs to men. This belongs to women. And you can like that and disagree with that and fall out on the floor and pass out and pout all the way home. But it's true. Even in Egypt, you could tell by the hieroglyphics. They didn't have language. They didn't even have letters. They wrote in pictures, and you could tell the difference between men and women by how they were presented.
Amen.
Amen. I'll pick on Xander last Sunday night. They went out and ate with us. And we're sitting at a table. I could see down the hall to Portofino's. I love you. You know you and me going to hug tonight after service. But he's going to take his brother to the bathroom. And I watched him. He went down the hall. Heather, it's okay. Amen. She's about to die. I was sitting there. I could see. I said, Sister Heather, your boys just walked in the women's bathroom. Xander's old enough not to be in there. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Miss Kate jumped up and ran and, amen, saved the day. Right there on that big old door, on the women's door, they got a cowgirl with a hat kind of leaned up. And you can tell she's wearing a long dress. No women. No, as far as I remember, no, doesn't say women. Xander can read, surely. If it had said women, he'd know that ain't where I'm supposed to go. He just went in there. He told me, so I went in there because that's what that woman said. Amen. He's a good man. Amen. Blame it on the woman. On the men's bathrooms, the cowboy with his hat in the same position, but you can tell he's wearing a pair of breeches. Now you can do what you want with that. I'm telling you, every culture that has ever been has had a line of distinction. This belongs to men. This belongs to women. Where you reckon that came from, that even pagans know that? Come from your Creator. And that's a part of this issue we're dealing with. I know you ain't going to want to think that way. Amen. But it's right. And I ain't being ugly about it. I'm just telling you. Soft raiment. Gorgeous apparel.
is an effeminate thing. It's a feminine thing. It belongs on women.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Seen a guy in Montana. Can you believe it? Only 1.3 million people live in Montana. Walked into Walmart. And I had to, have y'all ever had them double take moments where you saw something you thought for just a moment when you turned away, surely I did not see what I thought I just saw. And you have to turn back and look. In Walmart, hired by Walmart, believe it or not, I remember a day you couldn't get a job unless you went in and presented yourself a certain way. I remember that. I ain't even old. I'm a grandpa, but I ain't that old. I remember where you had to put on your best attire, take a shower, put some deodorant on, smell good, look good, because if you didn't, they'd send you packing out the door. I walked in the Walmart in Bozeman, Montana, and there was this man in there. He had this effeminate outfit on and had, y'all know the little dum-dum lollipops? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Little suckers you got when you went, amen, the doctor, they give you the little dum-dums. He had little dum-dum lollipops for earrings in his ear, walking around, just makeup on, everything done up, nails painted. And I had to do a double take. You know what that is? That's a deep line into it. That's the spirit of effeminacy. Amen. Amen. Here's what I found. I'm done on this. I got 3 minutes, 7:30, and I'll quit. I told you. Watch what Jesus said. Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live. What's that next word? Delicately are in king's courts. I got interested in that phrase. It intrigued me. What went you in the wilderness to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Jesus said, oh no, those that are gorgeously appareled and have a desire to live delicately, that is not what you've seen in John. You know what the word delicately means? You look it up, Brother Mike. Look it up now. If you got it on your phone, look it up. Here's the definition Strong's give and other word study books I have gave. You know what it means? Literally, effeminate. Jesus said effeminacy is attached to wanting to live delicately. Effeminacy as connected to luxury and debauchery. It means, delicately means to enfeeble, meaning itself to be deprived of strength or to debilitate. That is particularly both the mind and the body by indulgence. Effeminacy says, I'll show it to you in Isaiah 3 if you come back next Sunday night, I'll show it to you. Part 2, to be continued. The spirit of effeminacy says, it's too hard. It's too hard, I can't. It's too hard. I'm glad I had a mom and daddy that didn't let me run around saying, it's too hard, I can't. Get on your bike, boy. I can't. Do it anyway. I fail. Get on it and fall till you don't fall no more. And they taught me as a young boy not to say, I can't. I understand as you get older, there's some things you learn you can't do anymore. I'm learning that. But there's something on the inside every now and then. SMYR, them boys, they come in here and they go running their mouth about playing ball. And we're going to beat you and I'm going to take you to school. And there's a man on the inside of me, amen, that knows I can't, but you know what I do? I get out there and I do it anyway. And now I can't beat them with skill. It takes a few elbows and throw a few knees in the thighs. Amen. It takes shoving them down to the point where, amen, who was it? Amen. Hoyt said, that ain't basketball. That's old men bullying boys. Call it what you want. Amen. I was raised never to say I can't. Amen. Had a daddy that would push me, push the limits. Amen. Amen. Some of you women don't hold back, especially your boys. Oh, I'm afraid they're going to get hurt. Let them get hurt. Amen. That'll be better. Amen. They'll have some good memories growing up. And amen, when the weather goes changing, they'll know it before anybody does. Oh, don't get hurt. I'm glad I didn't have a mom and daddy like that. Mama said, get your tail outside. Mama, it's hot out there. I don't care how hot it is. Get outside. Now, at 45, at 45, I can still work circles around young bucks. Amen. It's too hot out here. It's too hot. I about got in trouble at my first church over a young boy. Whiz out. I'm done. Y'all can leave if you need to. It's after 7:30. I'm just talking now. But we was working one of the boys in the church, and he's over there just Minnie Mousing around. It's hot. It's hot. Man, it's hot, but hey, man, if we'll work hard, we can get done, go back to the house and get a nice water. Amen. And it wasn't me. It was Jason Bowles run over there one day. He picked up the head of that weed eater and slammed it on the ground. Said, if you don't get busy, I'm going to send you home. He chewed him up one side and down the other. He went home, told his mama, they just don't understand. I'm not lazy. And he started crying to mama. If I'd have done that, my mama slapped me upside my head and say, he's right, boy. Amen. This, don't put no pressure on me. Let me live in luxury. Let me have my comfort. Amen. We had a situation a couple years ago. I'm not belittling. Listen, men go through weak times. I understand that. More than you realize. Amen. I've been honest about those things. I have weaknesses just like every man in the building has weaknesses. Amen. We had a situation, and amen. Trying to think how I want to word this. But somebody struggling, I'll put it that way. And I know, I was his pastor, I knew what the issues was. And his wife called Miss Kate and said, please tell preacher not to be too hard on him. If my wife ever calls anybody to say, don't be too hard on him, me and her going to have issues. You listening? I don't know. I couldn't bear that. You know what that is? That is, I don't want to be pushed. I don't want to be challenged. I don't want to be provoked. I don't want the man called out of me. I'm telling you, as a man, I want other men and need other men to call the man out of me. If we as men would hold each other accountable, amen, this country may could turn around. I get accused of being mean, not loving people. I do. If you know me, you know that's true. It's amazing. It's amazing, effeminate men. Oh, I was going to tell you tonight. You got to come back. I'll show you this side of the text. You'll like this, Brother Tim. The only time an effeminate man will stand for anything is against another man who's standing for something. They don't stand for anything themselves other than stand against men that are standing for something. It's in the text. We got a bunch of mealy-mouthed, measle, wimpy, Peter Pan, Pee-wee Herman. I've pastored some of them. They don't stand for nothing until the preacher makes a stand against something. Then all of a sudden they've got values. Then all of a sudden they got convictions and lines that can't be crossed. Everybody okay? That ain't manliness. That's effeminacy. manifested in, I'll stand against anybody who stands for something. Whoa, hallelujah. I'm preaching at Jeff Brown's next month. I may preach this in his Jubilee. Y'all think this is Jubilee preaching? I believe they could handle it over there. Y'all have handled it well. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night. Thank you for the word of the Lord. Lord, we didn't make it too far, not far enough tonight, but Lord, we got to quit. Lord, we're going to go to the house. Lord, pondering these things. Lord, ready to hear the rest of it, Lord, on next weekend, next Lord's Day. Help us challenge our hearts as men of this church. Help our ladies, Lord, never to distort biblical womanhood. Lord, to fulfill the role that you give them. And Lord, us men fulfill the role you give us. Lord, please help us tonight. Lord, our nation's in so much trouble. Lord, what we have dealt with tonight runs so contrary to culture. Lord, this used to be the norm. This used to be, Lord, where society stood and what was promoted. Lord, we have allowed that to be removed and distorted and perverted. Lord, we really don't even know if it can turn around. Lord, we don't want to be a part of the problem. And so help us, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, as a church, a church full of men. And Lord, we'll lead our families in grace and in love and in strength and in valor and in victory and wisdom and in godliness and in prayer. And Lord, to be all that you've had for us to be. Lord, we need your help. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, that's it. We're just going to unhook. Thank you for listening so good. Appreciate it. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to take them. If you want to argue, who's doing the arguing for me tonight? Brother Tim's raised his hand. He'll do the arguing. And amen. If you're going to straighten me out, do it with the Bible. But do it with the Bible now. Come to me with, well, you hurt my feelings. I'll just have to say I'm sorry. I'll give you a cookie and send you home. Okay? Give you a cookie and send you home. Amen. Give you a dum-dum. Amen. Give you a dum-dum. You can wear it or lick it. Amen. Hallelujah. It is a sight. I'm telling you, it's one of them, what in the world? Amen. All right. I love y'all. I love my church. Amen. Get you a handful of tracts. Pass them out. Invite somebody to church. Give somebody the gospel. Be a witness this week. I challenge you to do that. We've been a long time since we've been organized in that, and we're going to get that straightened out, amen, sometime. But I challenge you, you go more places throughout the week than we could go an hour and a half on one night of the week. And so you take it on yourself, pick that responsibility up, and be a witness this week, okay? And if you're bold enough, share that tonight. Y'all reckon the world needs to hear what was preached tonight? It wasn't ugly, was it? I didn't think it was ugly. It's strong. I know how the world's going to take it, but that's okay. That's okay. It's going to take a real man to say it, to get somebody's attention. And so I challenged you last week about abortion. Make your stand as a child of God. Make your biblical stand. Amen. We got more opportunities in these days than has ever been for everybody to have a voice and everybody to get a word out, even if it's just to a handful. And I challenge you to do that and just get it out, okay? All right, let's stand together.